Here in Mark chapter 9, we studied the account of the Transfiguration 2 weeks ago, Sunday night. And in that event, Jesus revealed himself in his majesty. And he did that to encourage his disciples in the face of their coming persecution. He revealed his identity, his true identity upon that mountain. And then we come down the mountain, and we see the other three disciples, the other nine disciples, in a far different situation. We see them struggling with a difficulty down in a valley. Let's begin reading this section here, beginning in verse 14, Mark 9:14. I'll begin reading there through verse 29. Follow along as I read, Mark 9:14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answereth him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oft times hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." Some of you know that we've been working on a house that we purchased recently to get it ready so we can move in. And one day last week, right after we got in there, I determined that I was going to go and rip out all the carpets in the house. And I just had a few hours in the evening, and I thought I'd be able to do it, no problem. And so I ripped everything out and then got to the kitchen. And in the kitchen, the carpet was glued down. And so I was surprised that the carpet wouldn't budge. And so Pastor Gossman came over, I think, the next day, and we actually tried to hook it to his truck and put the truck in the garage and take it out, and that didn't work either. And so I needed some strong men. So I got a few strong men of the church, Caleb and Seth Sinclair, and Nathan Hardbarger. And so we got four guys on this carpet, and you know, all at once, and it was just moving like a quarter inch at a time, trying to get up. So I was definitely surprised at my inability to remove the carpet in this house. Now, we finally got it, eventually cutting it into small strips, but it was something I was surprised I was not able to do. I thought it would go well. When we come to this passage of Scripture, we find really all of the characters in this story surprised that the disciples are unable to deal with this difficult situation. They are not able to accomplish something that even they had been given the ability to do. Jesus had given them the ability to cast out demons, and they had done it. And yet, surprisingly, they come to the situation and they can't do it. They are unable to do it. And they wonder why. But Jesus comes to them and he continues to teach them something about themselves, something about this difficulty, something about how to deal with difficulties, how we can deal with difficulties. And what Jesus points to as the problem is the fact that they have unbelief. They are dealing with unbelief. And Jesus says in this passage of Scripture that to be successful in serving Christ, they must deal with their unbelief. And Jesus says the same thing to you and to me tonight. To be successful in serving Christ, you must deal with your unbelief. So how are we to go about dealing with unbelief? I think this passage shows us how. I think we see two ways that we should deal with unbelief. And the first way that we deal with unbelief is to recognize the effects of unbelief. We see, first of all, some effects or some results of unbelief. First one of those results or effects of unbelief is that unbelief dishonors the Lord. When Jesus comes down from the mountain, he sees the disciples and the crowd and the scribes here. In verse 14, it says that the scribes were questioning with the disciples. And that same word is also used in verse 16 when Jesus asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Sometimes when we think about the idea of questioning, it seems kind of harmless, but sometimes when somebody asks you a question, they mean more than just asking you the question, okay? And I think that's what's going on here. In fact, that word translated questioning here can also be translated argue or dispute. And it's translated that way in Acts 6, verse 9, if you remember that there were certain that arose disputing with Stephen. And he was able to answer them. But that word disputing is the same word questioning here in Mark chapter 9. So I think what's going on here is the scribes are arguing. They're disputing with the disciples. And also when Jesus asks the scribes what they're questioning about, what they're disputing about, we see the father in verse 17, he answers the question. Hey, this is what they're talking about. I brought them my son. He has this really extreme problem. And the disciples couldn't cast him out. They couldn't cast out the evil spirit. And then we see the response that Jesus gave in verse 19. he rebukes these people. And he says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" But I think that response indicates that the dispute, the argument, was aimed at him. The argument was aimed at discrediting the Lord. I think the scribes are coming to the disciples and they are saying, "Hey, I thought you were able to do this, and now you're not able. What's the deal?" They're trying to discredit, ultimately, the Lord and his disciples. And we see here the first effect of unbelief. Unbelief dishonors the Lord. The disciples were dealing with unbelief. We find that later on in the passage. And the effect of that was they brought dishonor to the Lord. There's another effect that we read of in verse 19. Look at verse 19 again, how Jesus responded to this situation. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" I think the effect that we see there of unbelief is that unbelief grieves the Lord. Unbelief grieves the Lord. I think this rebuke here is directed to everyone that's dealing with unbelief, but I think especially the disciples. Even also the Father, we read, we're going to see how he's dealing with unbelief as well. And the scribes, he's grieved at their unbelief. He says, "How long shall I be with you?" He's reminding them that he has been with them long enough for them to know better. He's been with them long enough that they should see who he really is and what he can do and put their trust in him. And he's frustrated with that. He says, "How long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to put up with this? I've been with you this long, and this is how I'm treated." Unbelief grieves the Lord. Unbelief dishonors the Lord. And I think that's the first step for dealing with our unbelief, is to realize the results of that. It dishonors the Lord. It grieves him. And those effects are fairly obvious. I think those are fairly obvious. But we need to recognize them. We see them in those verses. But more importantly, I think, what are the expressions of unbelief, which lead to those results? What's the expression of unbelief that we need to guard against? Well, Jesus continues to show us that. So he says we need to deal with this unbelief, and we do that first by recognizing the effects of it. But then as we read on, we see that he wants us to remove the expressions of unbelief. Remove the expressions of unbelief. What are the expressions of unbelief? How does unbelief demonstrate itself in our lives? Well, the first expression we need to remove is remove doubting. Remove all doubting in God's ability. Remove all doubting in God's ability. We see, continuing on in verse 20, that this demon-possessed boy is brought to Jesus as he requests, and he continues to have this fit of demon possession. And Jesus asks him in verse 21 a question. He asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." So Jesus wants to bring out something about this situation, and that is that it's been going on a long time. This boy has been dealing with this for a long time. And I think he's doing that. Jesus is questioning this man to bring this out, to show us that God responds to those who trust him confidently, even in situations that are far beyond human ability. And by Jesus' question, he shows us that this is a virtually impossible situation. This has been going on for a long time. This demon is trying to destroy this boy, and he's not sure what he can do. And then in verse 22, we find that the father is struggling with his own kind of unbelief. Look at verse 22, the second part of verse 22 again. The father says to Jesus, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He shows that he does not have complete confidence in Jesus. He says, "If thou canst do anything." He's seen that the disciples have not been able to cast this demon out, and so perhaps there is doubt in his mind, maybe because of that. And he says, "If you can do anything at all, have compassion on us." And in response to that, Jesus identifies the root problem in this man's heart. Look at verse 23. Picking up on what this man said, "If thou canst do anything," Jesus says, "If thou canst believe." If thou canst believe, All things are possible to him that believeth. So Jesus shows us what's the problem here. It's unbelief. It's the unbelief that causes this man to doubt. But notice verse 24, how the man responds. He says, straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I want you to notice the father's honesty here. He's confessing his belief in Jesus on the one hand, and on the other hand, he's admitting that he is doubting. He admits that he believes, and he admits to the Lord that he has doubts. But what does he do with that doubt? He brings it to the Lord, and he says, help thou my unbelief. That shows us that not only does God respond to those who trust him confidently, but God gives help to overcome doubting. God gives help to overcome doubting. So is it possible for a Christian to struggle with doubting God's ability? Yes, I think absolutely. This man confesses his belief. He says, I am believing, present tense. He is believing, and yet I'm doubting. But help my unbelief. It may be that you are facing doubts about God's ability. Maybe it's a situation that maybe is as extreme as this one here is. Maybe it's a health problem, or a financial difficulty, a relationship problem. Do you doubt God's ability? Bring it to the Lord and ask for help. Don't let that doubt turn you away from Jesus Christ. Bring it to the Lord and ask for help. God gives help to overcome doubting. And then in verses 25 through 27, Jesus demonstrates his ability by bringing this deaf spirit out, this deaf and dumb spirit out of this boy. He shows his ability, his divine ability to deal with the impossible. So remove all doubting of God's ability. That's the first expression of unbelief, doubting in God's ability. I read recently that someone said that if you tell a man that there are 581,678,934,341 stars in the universe, he'll believe you. But if you tell somebody there's wet paint in the room, they're going to go investigate because they're not quite sure. And sometimes that's how we treat God's word. We're more willing to believe something that somebody else just tells us, and yet when it comes to what we read about God, the promises that God has made in his word, we struggle. We doubt. But what Jesus teaches us here is that we need to remove our doubting. Take God at his word and believe God. Believe Jesus. Recognize the ability that God has given Jesus and cling to that. Remove all doubting of God's ability. There's another expression of unbelief that we see here, and that is seen in verses 28 and 29. I think that expression is self-confidence. Not only do we see doubting, but we see self-confidence. Look at verse 28. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? I think the problem with the disciples is their self-confidence. The scripture shows us that self-confidence prohibits their success. God had given this ability, but he didn't want them to think that it was their ability. He wanted them to recognize they needed to be dependent upon God, not upon themselves. In verse 29, he shows them the key to that dependence upon God is prayer and fasting. He said, look at verse 29, he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So he says there are some situations. in this case, there are some demons that the only way you're going to deal with is by prayerful dependence upon God and nothing else. Recently at our house, whenever I show Lillian something new, you know, a new toy or, you know, show her a new tool or something, it's not long before her reply is, I do it by self. You know, she doesn't want me to show her or to help her anymore. She wants to do it by self. And, you know, I'm glad for that in a way. You know, when it comes to the scissors or, you know, knives or something like that, you know, she needs help with that. But that kind of attitude, when it comes to spiritual matters, is an expression of unbelief. To think that we can serve Christ, to function on our own ability, is to show our unbelief in God. And so Jesus tells us here that we need to remove all self-confidence in our service for the Lord. If we don't do that, we will be unsuccessful. Remove all self-confidence. Remove all doubting in God's ability. So Jesus has to teach his disciples another lesson about serving him, about himself. You know, the disciples were a work in progress. When they first followed the Lord, they were not completely to the point where they should be in an instant. Jesus had to work with them and bring them step by step to the place where they could be useful. And he's doing that here in this passage. He's showing them, listen, you don't believe. You don't really believe me. He wants them to recognize the effects of that unbelief. It dishonors the Lord. It grieves the Lord. And he wants them to see the expression of that, doubting in God's ability and self-confidence. So are you dealing with unbelief this evening? As the Lord revealed your heart through this passage, what you need to do is the same thing that the disciples needed to do. And that is to remove those expressions of unbelief. Recognize who God really is. Recognize how Jesus has the ability to deal with any impossible situation in your life. Remove all doubting. Remove all expressions of self-confidence. And bring those problems to the Lord. As this father did, he brought even his doubting to the Lord and said, help. Help thou my unbelief. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you deal with our own hearts, even as you dealt with the disciples here. We know that we struggle at times with our unbelief. We bring that to you tonight. We ask that you would help. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to hymn number